Hi, my name is Steve Murphy, and this is the Law Business Insider. Each and every week, we bring you important guests and the issues behind them. And today, we are very fortunate to have with us a new writer, soon to be a best-selling writer. His name is Timothy Sansone. But before I introduce him, I want to introduce first my co-host, Jack Girardi, at the law firm of Girardi Keyes. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be with you again.
Hey, nice to be with you. And on the line, we have Tim. How are you today, Tim?
Doing great, Steve. And by the way, you pronounced my name correctly if we were in Sicily, but it's actually Sansone.
Sansone. Okay, well, you know, you wouldn't believe this, but we interviewed one of the mob survivors tonight, and he wrote a book called Carmine the Snake. And I just, you know, he had all these Italian, you know, accents, and I thought, well, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
So let me correct that. Tim Sansone. Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, you are a lawyer that's practicing in St. Louis. I understand you do a lot of complex litigation, but today we want to talk to you about a book that doesn't even relate one iota to what you do, right? And tell our audience why you wrote the book, what you hope to accomplish, and a little bit about your book.
Sure. I wrote the book because over the last few years, I have learned a lot about the value of deeper relationships. And I learned a lot about something called attachment theory, which has to do with how people connect with others, whether at work or in family relationships or in romantic relationships. And basically, there are four different types. A lot of people are anxious in the way they attach to others. Many are avoidant. They try to avoid close relationships. And there's also people who are secure, but that's usually the minority. A small percentage of people are able to really reach a secure place in their relationships. And having learned a lot about that, I wanted to build a book around that concept and also to bring in some concepts related to the different generations, the impact of the millennials in the workforce and in society, a lot of different things that I wanted to bring into it. But I would say that what I learned about attachment theory and relationships was fascinating to me, and I largely built my book around that, but in the world of fiction.
Right. The name of the book, by the way, is Trusting All I Want. And for our audience, it's a contemporary woman's fiction novel set principally in Chicago during a whirlwind year in the life of Lana Delacroix. Did I say her name right?
Delacroix.
Yeah. A recovering narcissist who craves new adventures and intellectual challenges as she nears the completion of college. Right.
That's right.
So I think you and I have talked about this a little bit before. There are, would you say, when you say it's a contemporary woman's fiction novel, that the audience is primarily women?
Yeah, I would expect well over 90% would be.
Okay. As I think we've discussed before, and the percentage of sales of romance women's novels, fiction novels, is I think 43% of all the books that are sold. There are such avid readers of these romance love stories, you know, women's fiction, that some women read 14 books a month. I mean, it's like an addiction. I'm serious. So was that a good addiction for the sale of books or a good addiction for escaping reality? Which one?
Well, a little
as
bit
a
of
drug.
Both. Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, a lot of us enjoy going to the cinema, seeing good films, and that's certainly an escape too. So I see it as mostly a good thing.
Yeah.
Tim, I just, you know, looking at your resume, when Steve mentioned that you were a lawyer doing complex litigation. It so happens I'm a lawyer. We do trial work at our firm. We do a lot of complex litigation, auto design and pharmaceutical. And I'm fortunate because I enjoy it, but I know how demanding the practice can be, especially when, you know, the children are grown and they're out of the house and there's not those quite the same family demands. How on earth, I've heard other people describe writing a book is a lot like, you know, the 9 months of a it's analogous to 9 months of pregnancy. It's that much of an effort that engages you completely. How on earth did you find the time with the other things? I know you have a couple of children. How to find the time to sit down and complete this task? Because I find it extraordinary, just from my very own personal point of involvement in the practice.
Sure. Well, in my daily practice with law, writing is the biggest thing that I do. I'm head of the appellate team, which also does a lot of complex litigation at my firm. And there's a lot of writing involved with that. Now, granted, writing in the law is much different than writing a work of fiction or a nonfiction for that matter. But it is still storytelling. You're telling a story to three judges or sometimes seven or nine judges. Sometimes you're writing for a trial court. But you still have to tell what your case is about, who the players are, what's at stake, and what you want. And in that regard, you're very mindful of the audience. So because I love writing so much and I had a sense of who my audience would be for the book, I took an approach that I've used in my legal work and tried to address or target the people that I want to speak to in this work of fiction in the same way. Also, when I was writing the book, I worked on it over the last 4 years. My children were both in their later years in high school, sophomore, junior, senior year, and they are very, very self-sustaining. My wife and I have been blessed with two children who made our lives very, very easy, frankly, during the teenage years. And they were able, they're very independent, and they were able to take care of themselves. So that made it easy. I also have a very supportive wife who knows how much I love to write and the passion that I have for it. So that's how I was able to make time for it. I will also say that my firm has a great culture. We're certainly not a sweatshop by any means. Mm-hmm. We go home on the weekends and holidays, unless we're preparing for trial, of course. And the firm's been supportive. So you put all those things together, and I think it's possible. But as I said, it did take, I worked on it over a period of 4 years. So, you know, certainly I had to budget my time so that I can make sure I took care of my day job and my family obligation.
Now, Steve earlier talked about the level of audience to which a book like this would appeal, the vast part of the book reading audience. Did you have that in mind first, or did you have the subject matter first? And it just so happened that that has a wider reader appeal.
I had the subject matter in mind first. What I ended up developing is a story that I would call it Sex in the City with Mr. Big in every episode. And the Affair, which is the show on Showtime.
Right, right.
With Jessica Jones, the Marvel character in the lead role. And then I would say throw in that late 60s movie, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. And update it for modern times and then address that book, which I call Trust and All I Want, to millennials and Xers and maybe some younger boomers and maybe some older boomers too, and then wrap it all together and then that becomes the book.
You know, I was going to ask you if either your wife or your daughter influenced, but after hearing what you were thinking about, I think I'll stay away from that question.
Well, I'll give you a partial answer. I think any writer, especially in the area of fiction, writing his or her first novel, is going to have to draw from something.
Sure.
I think it's impossible to draw from whole cloth. So are there characters or are there events that are inspired by people I know or things that I've observed happen to others or happen to me? Well, sure. That gives me a sort of a foundation to build off of. So the subject matter, though, the attachment theory that I mentioned, I know it sounds real scientific. It's sort of a psychological. It is a psychological or psychology concept, but it actually is pretty intuitive and it makes a lot of sense. And I think, frankly, people who read my story or other stories that delve into relationships have a common sense understanding of what I'm talking about. And it's easy to understand in concept, but very hard to execute. All of us
fall into traps, I think, when it comes into our relationships at work and with family and and romantically. And sometimes we actually play different roles in different situations. We're not necessarily the same attachment style in every circumstance, or with the same people.
Now, Tim, you have a website, correct?
Yes, that's timothyccsansone.com, and also the name of the book, trustingalliwant.com. Both of those point to the same place, which is my author website.
Right. Now, the book is coming out in January, is that correct?
Yes, it will launch on January 24th on Amazon, Kindle, and then I anticipate within a week or two after that, it would be available in hardback, paperback, and probably Audible. I'm in the process of working with a local actor and independent filmmaker to do some voiceover work. So we're hoping to have it available in audiobook format too.
Excellent, excellent. I'm just kind of curious. We were talking to someone earlier and they said a lot of his books are sold audiobooks, right?
Yes.
Is that what percentage of books, you know, like Amazon offers that? What percentage of books, although they're more expensive to get the audio version, are sold in relation to, let's say, e-copies, you know, electronic copies?
Sure. Well, the only thing I know for sure is that the trend is upward, significantly upward for the audiobook or Audible format. I don't know the percentage. I know that digital means and the audio format are more and more popular, but you still have a good segment of the population of all ages, actually, that still like to hold something in their hands, hold something that's made of paper in their hands. But yeah, it's definitely an upward trend. And that was the reason why, that is the reason why I'm really wanting to put it out in that format to respect my readers who really like that format because they're commuting to work or back from work or they're in other places where being able to listen to it is just a lot more convenient.
Well, we both want to thank you very much for being on the show today, and we wish you much success. I know you'll keep me posted on what's going on, and thank you for spending time with us, okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
Jack.
Steve.
I really appreciated your time.
All right, very good. I also want to thank Jack for being our co-host. He's amazing in the his insight and contributions to all the books. He's is probably better read than I am. But anyway, how can folks get a hold of you, Jack?
I don't know that I'd go there, Steve. But if they wish to, they could at the law firm website, www.GerardiKeys.com.
This is Steve Murphy. This is the Law Business Insider. You can get more information about Tim and all of our guests and their books and Jack at www.lbishow.com. Thank you.